Well, thank you, Sean, for that prayer. Thank you, band, as well. A brilliant worship this morning. Thank you, Dan, and the band. And we do really appreciate all that you do for us. And I pray that God will bless us this morning through his word as I share with you the thoughts that he's been giving me. I hope you had a good Easter. We missed last Sunday. You had a brilliant service apparently last Sunday with the baptisms and everything. So many baptisms going on in the church at the moment. I know you're a Baptist church, so I have to get used to that. But it is wonderful, isn't it? And people are actually coming to know the Lord in that way. And it's evidence of the Holy Spirit's work here. So I want to encourage you. And with that, it's evidence that the Holy Spirit, because it's only the Holy Spirit, God's Holy Spirit, actually does these things, brings people. We do our bit, don't we? We work hard at it, but it's the Holy Spirit. And so it's evidence of that. It's very encouraging. So we've got this passage before us. It comes from Ecclesiastes chapter 3. And I'm going to invite my wife Fiona come up and read for us. Listen up, because as I say, I really believe God has a message for us this morning. He certainly spoke into my heart as I was thinking about these things. Thanks, Fi.
It's titled, A Time for Everything. There is a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heavens. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to uproot. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to tear down and a time to build. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to scatter stones and a time to gather them. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to search and a time to give up. A time to keep and a time to throw away. A time to tear and a time to mend. A time to be silent and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time for war and a time for peace. What do workers gain from their toil? I have seen the burden God has laid on the human race. He has made everything beautiful in its time. He has also set eternity in the human heart. Yet no one can fathom what God has done from beginning to end. I know that there is nothing better for people than to be happy and to do good while they live, that each of them may eat and drink and find satisfaction in their toil. This is the gift of God. I know that everything God does will endure forever. Nothing can be added to it and nothing taken from it. God does it so that people will fear him. Whatever is has already been, and what will be has been before, and God will call the past to account. And I saw something else under the sun. In the place of judgment, wickedness was there. In the place of justice, wickedness was there. I said to myself, God will bring into judgment both the righteous and the wicked. For there will be a time for every activity, a time to judge every deed. Amen.
Well, thank you, Fi, for reading that so well. There is a man for every season. His name is Jesus, the Messiah. He goes with us in every season, the good seasons and the bad seasons. There is a time for everything and a season for every activity under heaven. The man who goes with us is Jesus. He's risen from the dead. We celebrate it every single Sunday. Jesus, the Messiah. Not just Jesus, the man. Jesus, the Messiah. Jesus, the risen Lord. Do you know him? Does he walk with you in the seasons of life? There's a time for everything. And a season for every activity under heaven. This scripture was made quite famous in the 60s. The folk singer Pete Seeger took these words out of scripture and made it into a song. I don't know if you were ever there in the 60s, whether you can remember the 60s or not. But Seeger pulled out these words and put them into a song called Turn. What was the other two words? Turn, turn, turn. And the Byrds, who were a wild rock band at the time, made it into a famous hit single. To everything there is a purpose. Turn, turn, turn. To everything. Turn, turn, turn. Do you know? To everything. Turn, turn, turn. There is a season. Turn. Don't be shy. Come with me. Come with me. Anything to help me out, please. Seeger took the words out of scripture, revamped them a little bit, gave them to the Byrds, and the Byrds made a hit of it. Isn't it amazing how God works in mysterious ways? They're in the midst of the vibrant 60s. They're in the midst of all that drug abuse, that hippie culture, the unbelievingness, the ungodliness of that time. I lived through it. It was a wonderful time in lots of ways. Scary when I look back on it. But isn't it fantastic? Isn't it amazing how God takes something and uses it in a situation like the 60s with the Vietnam War raging, killing, slaughtering, all unjust, all wrong, gets Pete Seeger to sink into scripture and draw out a passage and present it to that situation. Turn, turn, turn. Repent, repent, turn back to God. It's the message of Ecclesiastes in lots of ways. Not written by Pete Seeger, but written by King Solomon, who was David, King David's son, who lived a very ungodly life in lots of ways. And the book of Ecclesiastes is very pessimistic. If you read it straight off, you might think, well, there's nothing good about life. Everything is vanity. All is vanity. You might think, if you read it straight off, that this is a book telling us that everything is worthless. But that's not what Solomon is saying. What Solomon is saying is everything is worthless without God. That's what he's saying, because he lived a life without God, did Solomon, in lots of ways. And he had everything he could imagine. You could imagine. He had the best palaces. He had loads of wives. He had all the money in the world. He had the wisdom which he'd asked for from God. God gave him the gift of wisdom. Yet he lived most of his life apart from God. And he comes to a realization as he writes this sermon. It's a sermon. He's like the preacher preaching to his congregation. He's like a preacher who's speaking out to his nation and saying, look, I understand now that everything is worthless unless you have God in your life. We can gain everything on earth and then lose everything. But with God, we have everything we need. There's a time for every activity under heaven. Don't we know that? Of course we do. Of course we do. Timing is important. I don't know if you've ever cooked an egg. Timing is important. Depends how you want the egg, I suppose. But we had lovely roast beef. No, we didn't. We had roast lamb last Sunday. It's beautiful. Perfectly cooked. Put it in nice and early, came to church, went to church because I was preaching elsewhere. Came back, I thought, that's been in too long. You know, the way men do. Get involved, say things they don't really shouldn't be saying. I think that's been in too long. 4 hours, slow cook. It was perfect. Timing is important, isn't it? You tell a joke. The timing is important. It falls flat, doesn't it? If you get it wrong, it's terribly worrying. Never start a sermon with a joke. It doesn't work, really. God's timing is perfect. Timing is important, but God's timing is perfect in all seasons. In all seasons. Not just in those good ones. You think, oh, wonderful. If I had to choose my seasons, I'd choose all good ones, wouldn't you? I'd choose all good ones. I wouldn't want any bad ones, would you? Well, of course not. We wouldn't. But, you know, sometimes the bad times produce great fruits. You wouldn't wish it upon yourself. You wouldn't want bad times. But you know, there's something in God's timing that is so perfect and so right. There's a time to be born and a time to die. I was watching your son. We were sitting behind him. And he's so good. Little girl? Oh, he looked like a little boy from there. Gorgeous little face. Beautiful, isn't she? So lovely, that time to be born, that period of time. There's a lot of that going on at the moment in the life of the church. It's wonderful, isn't it? And there's a time to die. And we know that. Those are the two things, in a sense, we can't do anything about as people, as human beings. None whatsoever. We don't have that timing. But God's timing is perfect. There's a time to be born and a time to die. Opposites are often a feature of Hebrew language. Opposites. They use opposites a lot just to express totality, you know? To express totality. Life, death, and all that's in between. Jesus did a bit of that with his parables, you know. Sons that stay at home, sons that go run away. Houses that stand and houses that fall. Extremes. He used the extremes, if you like, to get his message across. Opposites. Great opposites. There's a time for every season under heaven. We've been married now for about 7 years. When we went on honeymoon, I got up very early, went down for a swim on the jetty. There's a guy standing there, and I get talking to him. He said, "Oh, what are you doing here?" I said, "Oh, actually, I'm on my honeymoon." He said, "What, at your age?" He didn't really want an early swim, but he got one. There's a time for everything under heaven. Life comes with surprises, modifications, transitions, alterations. Life comes with seasons. What season are you in at the moment? If you're in a bad season, listen to this. It will end. God will do something with it. He doesn't always prevent those situations happening. There's reasons for that. He has his purposes to fulfill. But he always redeems them. Your bad circumstances will always be redeemed if you walk with God. If you serve him and follow him and worship him and you have him in a relationship with you, it will come to an end, that bad time. And you will find that, in fact, something perhaps wonderful has come out of that. We panic sometimes when things change in our lives. You know, God dispenses life like he manages the cosmos through seasons. 28 different seasons here in Ecclesiastes 1 to 8. Can we have them up on the board just to get a look at them again? Time to born, to plant, to uproot, to kill, to heal, build, weep, laugh, mourn, to embrace, to refrain from embracing. Time to search, give up searching, time to keep, a time to be silent, time to speak, time to love, time to hate, time for war, time for peace. You know, there is a time to hate. We're not called to hate people, but we are called to hate the things that some people do. We must never hate people, but we should be hating some of the things we're seeing being done by some people. And we should look into our own lives and not hate ourselves, but hate the way we are sometimes in our selfishness and in our sin, and come back to God to turn and turn and turn. Turn, 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 repent and receive forgiveness. There is a time for these things. There's a time for war and a time for peace. If we had our choice, we would choose all good times. God dispenses life like he manages the cosmos. In nature, we understand that. We've got springtime and summertime and winter and autumn. We understand that God does this, gives seasons. But when it comes to times in our own lives, God's management strategy seems to fall apart for us. And we panic. Different seasons come upon us and we panic. We worry. It's a change to our life. Sometimes we don't know what we're going to do. How we're going to get through. What darkness comes upon us, we don't know why or what to do about it. David brought a quote to us a couple of weeks ago. It read like this: difficult roads can often lead to beautiful destinations. Difficult roads can often lead to beautiful destinations. Wasn't that wonderful? I thought that was wonderful. We wrote it down and thought about it. It's true. Sometimes the paths that we walk, the difficult and darkness that we have to trudge through sometimes, can lead to beautiful things if we trudge through them with God. But man, for all seasons. You can't make omelets without breaking eggs. You need these things in life. So when those particular seasons come upon us, we need to look to God. He has made, verse 11, I think is the nub of this. He has made everything beautiful in its time. This is the key to this passage, I believe. He has made everything. What don't we understand about everything? Not just some things, everything beautiful in its time. So, what is God saying to us in life's changing seasons? And I've got three thoughts for us, just to hang our own thoughts on. Firstly, I believe God is saying to us, fear not. Fear not. God's love is invincible. You know, we have all the power we need for all the problems we face. For we live with Jesus, not just the man, the Messiah, the risen one. David and Tim are often challenging us, asking us, what is your identity in Christ? Do you know God as the living Lord? Is he walking with you? Is he the resurrected Son in your life? Fear not. The Bible is full of that phrase. Apparently, I've not counted them, but there are 365 fear nots in Scripture. One for every day of the week. Fear not. I think the Bible wants to tell us something. Fear not. Fear not. It's the greatest of Satan's weapons, really, fear. We worry about this and worry about that. It's natural. We're human beings. That will happen. But we need to look to God in those times. Fear, the greatest of the enemy's weapons. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Let's look at that a moment. John chapter 14, verse 1. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Let not your hearts be troubled. Jesus is not saying that we shouldn't weep over this. We often use this at funerals, don't we, this particular passage. Let not your hearts be troubled. I am with you. Believe in me, believe also in God. Believe in God, believe also in me. Jesus is not saying that we shouldn't be upset by these things. We shouldn't weep over these things. We shouldn't mourn over some of the tragedies of our lives. Of course he's not saying that. We're human beings. He's saying, do not let your hearts be troubled about. Don't be troubled. Don't be afraid. All is well. You might not be able to see that yet, but all is well. So that's what he's saying here. Do not let your heart. He was going away. He was leaving a confusion, a darkness. They didn't understand it all. He was going to go away. Do not let your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Also, trust in God, but also trust in me. Not just in God. Trust also in me. Most people believe in God, especially in the hard times, and they pray out a prayer of hope to God. But it's Christianity we're talking about here. Believe in God, but believe also in me. This is Christianity. This is Jesus saying, believe in me as well as believe in God. They believed in God. They were Jewish people. They were raised on it. They had a faith in God. They needed to also have that faith in Christ, the Redeemer, the Savior. Believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house, well, you know the passage well. There are many rooms, many, many mansions. Fear not is the first point I want to bring this morning. My change of direction from printer to preacher. I was a printer from the age of 16, worked in a print shop, learnt the trade as an apprentice and then earned a living from it, quite a good living. I became a lithographer. I ran Heidelberg Presses, four-color process printing, if anyone understands a word of what I'm saying in that. I was a printer. And then at one stage in my life, we got overcome by the power of the Spirit, and we got called into ministry, and the church we were worshiping at wanted a youth leader. A youth leader is many years ago, believe me. And we couldn't really afford it in the church we were at, so I volunteered for it. And my wife agreed to sort of support it financially. And so I left the printing industry and joined the church as a full-time youth leader. And didn't get paid because they couldn't afford it. They ran my car, paid my expenses. And I remember walking out of the gates of the factory and looking around me thinking, I'm going to regret this. I'm going to regret it. I had four kids and a mortgage. I'm going to regret this. I never looked back. It's nothing to do with me. It was hard. It was. But I never looked back. Never, ever looked back on it as being anything wrong or bad. We survived really well. We survived so well. We moved house and we doubled our mortgage in the moving of that house. We downed a wage and we doubled a mortgage. And yet God honoured, if you like, that step of faith that we took. You take a step of faith. If you believe you're being called to something, take that step of faith. You will discover how powerful God can be and how full of faithfulness he can be. It's a wonderful thing. My change of direction from printer to preacher, it boosted my faith so much because he was there strongly in my life. Now, my change recently is from preacher, well, to retirement. I don't have a church now, so that's why I'm very grateful and honoured to be able to share some of this, because I still have a heart to sort of preach the gospel. So I do a bit of it. I don't do much now, but I do a bit. But it's been, again, a strange transition, another season for me to be in, if you like, a different time. And I wouldn't say I was fearful, but it's not been easy, retirement. I'm enjoying it to a certain extent, but I keep looking back. I ran a church in East Grinstead for 16 years, and being there for so long, you really develop friendships and partnerships and love for one another. You grow, you know, the kids growing up and all of that. And as a minister, you know, I really miss them, you know. And it's wonderful that we've been welcomed into this congregation, but there's something about that congregation that keeps drawing me in and drawing me back. And it's slightly unpleasant because I have to break from it and I have to get away from it. And it's a season that I'm in at the moment, which is quite nice in one respect, but it has this tinge to it, which is a little bit difficult at times. In one stage, I dropped a wage and doubled a mortgage. Never looked back. In this way, I dropped a church and doubled spare time. I know I won't look back for very long. God will move me on. He will make me feel good about everything that's happening. I needn't fear, I needn't worry. Let not your hearts be troubled. Fear not. Second point. I am with you always. I am with you always. Don't you just love the phrase with you? I'll go with you. I'll be with you at the doctor's. I'll be with you at the hospital. I'll go with you on that journey. I'll be with you. Don't you just love with you? Isn't that a great phrase? I will be with you as we go through life. I will not leave you. I will always be there with you. I love that word. Jesus says, I am with you. God's love is unconditional. Well, even when I'm bad, Lord, yes, I will be with you. Even when I really push you away, yes, I will be with you. Jesus loves us unconditionally and will never leave us, no matter what. He'll always be with us. It's us that push him away. If you think God is far away from you, just take a look and see who's moved, you know. He hasn't moved. It's probably us that have moved. Something has moved us, some circumstance perhaps, some situation. God's love is unconditional. I am with you. You don't have to prove yourself to me. You don't have to be a good person in that sense for me to stay with you. You know, we don't have to be good people in order that God will love us. God loves us. There is nothing we can do to make him love us more. And there is nothing we can do to make him love us less. Isn't that a great phrase? Nothing we can do. He loves us. Of course he wants us to play our part in life and be a good person. Of course he does. And of course, if you know him, you will automatically want to be good like him. You would want to emulate who he is. But we get lost sometimes. We get lost in this and we get lost in that. We get lost in our sin and our selfishness we want for ourselves. We get lost. And it's a terrible thing, isn't it, to be lost? I don't know if you've ever been to Swindon. Have you ever been lost in Swindon? There's a roundabout in Swindon. Have you ever been on this roundabout? It's called the Magic Roundabout. I'm not surprised. I went on it once. It was a nightmare. You go on it and you go around and there's 7 roundabouts within the roundabout. You go round and round and up and down. There's people coming round here and there's people coming round there and you're getting through and you want to get there but you finally end up over here. You're going round and round and round. I miss lunch. Round and round and round. I thought, time's getting on. I should be where I should be. I couldn't get out. I was trapped. I was lost. It was a terrible thing to be lost. In the end, I finally managed to get back to where I started. It was no help. I didn't know what to do. I'm not going to go back on that thing again. But I got back to where I started. And you know, if you get lost in life, this is my point. Go back to God. Get back to the starting point. Get back. Doesn't matter that you just go back to God. Push into God. If you're in a dark time this morning, if you're in a season that's very worrying, some troubles are happening, some things are going on that you don't understand, push into God. Do not give up on him. Push in, push in, push in. Keep pushing in. Do not give up in those dark times. Because if you give up on God, it'll be dark indeed. But if you don't give up on him, if you go back to him, all will be well. Because I am with you. I will be with you. Jesus himself, by the power of the Holy Spirit for us, the advocate, the comforter, the counselor, he's all that we need. He's everything we need. I'm going away. There's going to be a new season. There's going to be a new chapter, a new season. Much will change, but one thing will remain. Hebrews 13, verse 8. Jesus, yesterday, today, and forever. I am with you. I am with you. My third point. To the very end of the age. Fear not, for I am with you to the very ends of the age. God's love is immeasurable. To the very ends of the age. He will never give up on us. As Christians, you know, we live in a new season. We live in a new place now. The Old Testament is past. The New Testament has come. The old law, if you like, the old covenant is past. Where we had to prove our love for God before God would love us. That was the thinking. The old covenant, written on tablets of stone, is past. The new covenant, written on our hearts, is what we live with now. This is a new season for Christians. And if you've become a Christian, if you've been baptized last Sunday here, if you've been baptized as a Christian, you walk with Christ, you have a relationship with Him, you're in a new season now. Even unto the ends of the age. I am the resurrection, says the Lord. I am the resurrection and the life. Not that I was back then, although indeed He was. Not that I will be necessarily when you get to the end of your life, although indeed He will be. I am the resurrection now. I am. Even unto the very end of the age, Christ will come again. There is a second coming. He will come again. There'll be another season. We don't understand it. We live in the mystery of some of this. Most of this, I have to say. But there will be a new season where Jesus comes and redeems all those who have given their lives to Him, will be raised. The old covenant is gone and the new covenant has come. Verse 27 and 29 of chapter 10 of John, and we're finished with this nearly. My sheep will listen to my voice. I know them, and they will follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them from my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hands. No one, nothing can snatch us out of God's loving hands. We are His forever. Not just now, although now. You're not waiting for eternity. You have eternity. But we will have it when we die. A time to be born and a time to die. All is well. All is well with my soul. All is well with my soul. Thank the Lord. Praise the Lord. Even if I go through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Your rod and your staff, those strong things of faith, are with us, even in the dark times. Are you on the eve of change? Is there a new chapter in your life at the moment? A new season? Embrace it. Accept it. Don't resist it. Seize the day. With God by your side. Seize the day. Change is part of God's strategy. It is in the cosmos and it is in our lives. God will be with us. Fear not. I am with you always. Even unto the ends of the age. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, please instill in us that word, that we might know your presence in every season, in all seasons, in the good times and the bad times. We thank you for the faith we have, but it's not just a faith for good times, it's a faith that speaks volumes in bad times. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Lord, and minister to our needs, especially those of us who are going through dark times, worrying times. And help us to respond to you, Lord, we pray. As we worship now, Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit will prompt us to respond to your word this morning. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.